presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Banded together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 139 of the Let's Go Comic Show, where we talk about comics, comic movies, comic book TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate them part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
Matt, did you like my radio announcer
voice? That was very radio announcer. That was like even more so than usual. You have a very like natural radio voice.
It's a block party weekend. We're listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hey. Do you ever listen to pirate radio like back in the day?
Oh,
like,
yeah, dude, pirate radio was cool. Thing. It was a pirate radio.
I think my dad, like, I feel like that is connected, that my dad's pirate radio shirt is connected to the same summer as like his Batman, like, 89 logo, like, tank top. Like, that was funny. Like the same era.
Was there sleeves? Well, I've obviously seen that on a tank top, but it's
pirate radio. No, there were no sleeves on the tank top. Can we just make a tank top with sleeves, please? Can that be in the merch store?
Can they be retractable sleeves?
Like Batman, be prepared for any occasion.
Any occasion. Pirate Radio had the coolest logo ever for a radio station.
They were pretty cool. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember I liked it.
It was like a skull pirate face. It was a pirate radio. I remember like they had ads on TV. This isn't sorry, we're in California. So this was like the Southern California like radio market.
This was late 80s, early 90s California.
Pirate radio. And it was always like, welcome to the jungle. You know, it was like making fun of like corporate rock and stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
I just remember really like that really like it looks like it's painted like letters, you know what I mean? Like very generic for that era. Pirate radio.
It was
100.3.
Yeah. Pirate radio. We're bringing it back right here.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's the next pirate radio show.
All right.
That's
so what would you rate? We haven't talked about our ratings. What would you rate pirate radio, Matt?
Oh, pirate radio is for sure a let's go.
So let's go. But what's the top? What's the top? What if it was the
best? So the best we give, if it was the best, it would be a gotta go.
Yeah.
And below that would be a let's go.
Yeah.
Below that is a go.
Yeah.
Below that is a don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom, if it was super bad and needed its own kind of arena to play in, it would be trash juice.
Trash juice. We haven't had any trash juice lately. So we're going to have yourself a little bit of a show here. We're going to talk about some stuff. So this last week during quarantine, since we're still, if you're listening to this and we're out of quarantine, man, remember when we were in quarantine?
Man, what's it like in the future?
But
what's it like to be near a person?
I know. What's it like to be near Matt Ritchie? It's not. This is the new. You'll find out. It's the new us. Been watching a lot of Mandalorian.
Oh, rewatching that first season?
Yeah, I mean, because they have those specials too that go along. Like every week, they're releasing like a new behind the scenes type of thing. And it's
I need to watch those.
It's so cool, man! It just gets me so excited for season two. And I'm like, hey, Disney Plus, just drop it right now.
You don't think they're probably still in like post production?
I feel like they're done. Like they've already.
We're done.
They just announced season three, so they're like, we're getting ready for the third iteration of this. They're like, we're old school season two. Like they're done. They're over that.
Did you see the latest press release, like scoop thing, like from Mandalorian season two?
About what's her face?
No, well, I mean that was a few months ago. Rosario Dawson. No, about freaking Aquaman's dad.
Oh shoot! Yeah, thank you.
Potentially
for
coming
that up.
Back as freaking Boba Fett.
No, not potentially. He's. Didn't they just straight up
did
say,
they confirm like, he's coming back as Boba Fett?
Well, I mean,
that was what was
right.
implied. That's what was implied in the scene with What's-Her-Face from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I need to be better about remembering characters' names, but Star Wars
makes it
tough.
I just had her name. I forgot. But she was episode 5.
Yeah, but spurs, like on the boots, like walking up, that was supposed to imply, apparently,
Boba Fett.
That it was Boba Fett.
So... I'm here for it. I saw a lot of people, dude. Oh, actually, Twitter, y'all are so funny. They're like,
so funny.
Oh, I guess nobody stays dead in Star Wars.
Whatever,
it's
man.
It's lazy writing. I'm like, we all know Boba Fett didn't get swallowed up by the butthole, right? We all know he got out because they've made comics, even if they're expanded universe, like Boba Fett got out. Because at some point, someone said, if Boba Fett is such a badass, how is he going to like go out
like that?
Yeah. By Han Solo, turn around, huh? Like, that was the dumbest scene ever. And I love Return of the Jedi, but Han Solo is blinded because he's not fully out of, like, you know, being carbonated. He got decarbonated, right? And he's just still kind of like, you can't see anything, spins around, pulls like a Three Stooges move on Boba Fett, and Boba Fett flies into a butthole.
That's like your favorite type of stuff. It's like throwing a ball into a wall and then getting hit in the face.
Worst part. I love Ragnarok, but I hate that part. But so like I'm there for it. I'm like, yeah, bring him back. And because the pedigree of the Mandalorian is amazing. Like that show, again, my favorite Star Wars thing ever. So if you're gonna bring Boba Fett back, bring him back here. Right?
Yeah, I mean, why not? This is really shaping up to be a really cool season two, like with the characters they're bringing back. So
yeah.
I'm 100%.
So what is it? Is it Temuru? I'm trying to, like, how do you say it? I don't want to mispronounce his name, which I probably did. I think so. But anyways, yeah. So he was Jango Fett, which, Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett. You know, Stormtroopers are clones of Jango Fett. So, like, yeah, bring him in, dude. I'm here for more of him. And he's Aquaman's dad, and he's also Abin Sur. So bring him. Just not that those things matter, but I'm like, hey, bring him back.
Yeah.
He's just got a lot of nerd pedigree. He's like, don't tell anybody about Green Lantern. The oath. Say it. The ring chose you.
Yes.
Say it.
Dude, I forgot that was him too.
That was him. Ever?
Wow, man.
Remember when we were at Comic-Con, we saw the weird body casting of him. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's weird.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
Take it.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that, dude. Why not? Like, I'm game at this point.
Dude, that is, for me, I was so excited to hear that news. And I was telling my son just eats it all up. He's like, Dad, so Boba Fett's back? Does that mean, you know, he just starts asking all these questions. And
do you make up answers for him?
No, I don't. I try not to fill in his blanks. I like when he fills in the blanks himself. It makes me, I love hearing his ideas. And he's also, Dad, how did he get out? Because we call it the butthole. Sorry. The Sarlacc pit is called the butthole because it's just funny. He's also, how do you think he got out of the butthole? You know? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Like, we didn't see him escape. He could have flew right out. Like, he's got his armor. He's got his jetpack. He may have just went, whoosh, shot right out, you know?
Yeah.
And so what do you think? He's like, yeah, I think he shot out. I think he just blasted his way out, you know, in the door, in the, you know, the mouth opened up and he just shot right out. And I'm like, that's probably what happened. And here's the thing. People build Boba Fett up to be like this amazing character. And I mean, he looks cool, but like he's pacing around a little bit in Empire. But like once he shows up in Jedi, he's not that great. He's just kind of there, you know?
Yeah.
And then and in the special editions when they have like the extended song, he's just standing there while homegirl's dancing. Just
yeah,
it's weird. But yeah, make Boba Fett matter. Because so far he's cool, but he's like, he's a cool looking background character. But if you can give him a little more like, I don't know, like gravitas, I'm here for it.
Which I mean, they did to the Mandalorian in the first season. So,
well, they didn't really give Boba Fett any storyline.
No, that's what I'm saying. They gave that character, the Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, like,
a lot more depth. And I think we're getting to see a lot of what it means to be a part of that clan.
And, yeah.
Like, it's freaking cool.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Man, I'm so glad you brought that up because I love the Mandalorian.
So, you're welcome.
My favorite, dude. And then watch that show on Disney Plus too. I don't know what it's called. I forget what it's called, but
I'll check it out. Isn't it like a gallery or something like that, right?
Yeah, Disney Gallery. It's the Disney Gallery. And then it's so good, dude. It's so good.
Yeah, so, I need to check it out.
Yeah. So find out more about our buddy, Din Djarin, aka the Mandalorian.
The Mando.
Mando. Cool. That was some good news right there that you shared.
That is. Good, that is good,
good
news
with Matt Ritchie. So Matt told me something else. Matt always sends me tweets. And they're secret. They're always in direct messages. He doesn't share it with the world. He's like, "Ooh, check this out, Justin." All right, Matt. So, what are you tweeting at me, dude? What are these top secret tweets in the DMs? He's secret. Let me slide
just
into your DMs.
Slide into the DMs with all of the random news. It's that Swamp Thing canceled at CW. I mean DC. Dang it, dude! I can't even say it right.
Buried the lead.
cancel the DC universe. Obviously, we know that is moving to the CW.
Hey, that's and exciting.
It's weird. I'm not excited about it.
Well, is it moving because they're making new, or is it just like a transference?
From what I read, it looks like they're not ruling out the possibility of making some new stuff, but it's going to be. It's. I saw at the season one of Swamp Thing coming to the CW this fall, which makes it an even weirder move in my mind.
Well,
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I'm thinking with all this COVID stuff, they're not able to film stuff all summer, right? So I bet you they're like, "Oh,
new content! Yeah,
we got about 10 weeks of content right here." Right?
It's true. So, but they're going to have to edit that mess, so that's not ready.
Are.
That's not ready for a network television.
Yeah, that's 100% for sure. But I think that's something that might be one of the reasons they're thinking about it. Watch it be a hit though.
That would be so weird.
Watch it be like, "This is an incredible show. I never seen it," you know. Cuz CW's probably got more eyes on it than DC, you know. The hardcore DC fans use DC Universe, but like,
yeah,
I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was thinking like, oh, maybe it goes to HBO Max and you know, gets more love, but you know,
that would have made more sense. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's this back and forth, like what they're going to be doing with Stargirl coming up next week. But I think, dude, it's funny to think like, because Swamp Thing after the first half of that season kind of ended up feeling more like a CW show anyway.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Is all the melodrama and not a lot happening and just kind of padding out episodes and stuff.
Yeah,
all
was
he
like,
was
what
missing
happened?
Was like his team back at the Swamp Cave.
The Swamp Cave.
So the okay, swamp, so swamp. The thing swamp. They just reverse swamp. It back.
So okay, this is what happens. Let's say that Swamp Thing season one does super well. CW, they're like, let's
heavily
like,
edited.
Let's roll this up and smoke it again, right? Season two. All right. And so we have to put the classic CW formula in it, which is everybody in Swamp Thing's midst becomes part of Team Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
They meet up, makeshift Swamp Lab, which is, you know, in Al Collins' swamp field.
Swamp Lab.
Yeah, but it's got like sweet like glass cases of costumes now, because that's what happens. Oliver Queen's all, "Get a case made."
Yeah, you have like the costumes for all those characters that don't have costumes. It's just like just empty busts, like yeah, ready for a costume, but
ready
they don't
for
need it.
just some leaves in there.
So who would his crew be? I mean, we could draw from the kind of dark universe side of things, I guess. Like kind of keep it in there.
Well, you got to use the character. So there's already a good handful of characters there. So we use, and I would upgrade it though, because if it's CW, you gotta put some CW-ness in there. So,
yeah,
what's the first rule of like CW-ness?
Well, you have to have a love triangle.
Got to have a love triangle.
I mean, maybe Madame Xanadu gets in the love triangle with him and Abby. I don't know, like how that would work out.
Well, everything has to be.
I mean, why not?
Everything has to be hot. Hot and young.
Hot and young.
Hot and young.
All of a sudden, everyone's recast for season two.
Right?
It's like a super like skinny Swamp Thing.
Just got abs, like swamp abs.
Swamp abs.
It's like, why are you wearing Levi's that, you know, they're like hanging off your hips? He's like, I don't know. Maybe he's not even like a swamp monster anymore. He's just like
he's just shirtless all the time.
This shirtless guy. He just comes, he's just got a little bit of swamp water on him. They're like, oh, well.
Dude.
I do declare.
Okay. I mean, Abby Arcane obviously is going to get powers.
Abby's got powers. So who's this guy? He's got Fam Stranger.
Fam Stranger showed up. He can be the IT guy, I guess. He's the guy behind the computer screen.
People are all, there's a problem here. And he just like, the mist comes. he's like, I'll take care of this. I wasn't a huge fan of this version of Phantom Stranger, by the way.
It was all right, man. It wasn't the worst characterization they did on the show. Blue Devil is there.
Wait, wasn't Phantom Stranger also on Doom Patrol, though? Wasn't there a version on there? Or am I getting confused?
No, that was a different guy. That was like the Irish guy that helped help the world not end.
I could have swore that was Phantom Stranger.
No, it was a different dude.
Oh man, I'm confused now. The multiverse is too existing. Okay. So you get Blue Devil.
Yeah. See, and like him, the young rebel.
He's the young rebel. So but he can't be. Actually, Ian Ziering's still the young rebel. He's just, you know, constantly like 38 years old. Right?
Eternally.
And there he goes. So he's still Blue Devil. He's got his sweet car. So him and Swamp Thing, they drive around in his car. They travel around. You know, they don't have like an arrow car or something. They just drive around in that car.
The swamp car.
And so.
Which I guess would be a boat.
It's a car boat. It's a boat that turns into a car. It's Blue Devil. He's like, oh, watch this. He's all, he downshifts and so, like James Bond car. Easy. Boat skis.
Yeah.
So Madame Xanadu, she's a tech girl, but she does like voodoo. She creates the tech. Whereas, like, she's the Cisco, whereas Phantom Stranger is the Felicity, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right? I'm just trying to think, but then...
I feel like they're kind of, that's the same kind of archetype.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're on different shows too. Sorry.
It all starts to kind of blend together.
They start to cross over, though, that's right. So, okay, so who's Icicle or whatever?
That's kind of Abby, because she's kind of like a bad guy. Like, she kind of has that tie to it.
Yeah, she does.
Spoilers to the rot. What if Animal Man, like, became part of his crew?
Oh, dude, Animal Man would actually be super welcome, because it would be good for season two. Like, a green versus the red type of thing.
Yeah.
Man, that's actually a better idea than having a team. But okay, so you said Xanadu, there's a love triangle. So like Swamp Thing kind of has a thing for her. He has a Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
For her. He's like, hey, girl. And hey. So and they play like a song.
And
from
she
some,
can't
like,
see him. She doesn't know what he looks like.
That's true. Hey.
She just wants a piece of that Swamp Thing.
I got a Swamp. She wants a piece of that Swamp Thing. Oh man, there you go. That's the show title. So he's got a Swamp Thing for her. Oh gosh, that needs to be a song so bad. Yeah. Girl, I got a Swamp Thing for you. we're gonna write that, put that on Patreon for you. You have to be a Patreon subscriber to get the song.
Justin's creating our album track list already.
Patreon exclusive. All right, so I don't know where else this
and
is
then
go.
And then Detective Chimp comes in for good measure. Why not?
Oh gosh, I hope so. Well, here's the thing with Swamp Thing being on CW. Didn't they just announce like Justice League Dark's going to come to HBO Max with freaking J.J. Abrams kind of overseeing that?
Oh, I didn't hear that J.J. Abrams part. That's cool.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they mentioned he was doing. Like two other projects, his DC project was. And I don't know if it's him, but it's like J.J. Abrams, his Bad Robot Productions, is going to be overseeing Justice League Dark show for HBO Max.
Yeah, I just wanted to be good.
Yeah, you know, I'm here for that. So I don't know if this is like, I feel like it's more of a space filler than a, you know, we're going to move these characters over.
Mm.
I don't know. But at some point, they need to slow down on like the shows, because you don't want to dilute the HBO Max show. And I don't know if J.J. Abrams wants to use, what if he's like, I don't want to use this Swamp Thing. You know, I don't want to use Matt Ryan as Hellblazer. You know, like, though that,
yeah,
that
right?
guy's a, huh?
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I don't know. Anywho. All right.
You know what? Like,
what do you rate that? What do you rate Swamp Thing going over to the CW?
Oh, that's a, I feel like there's so many things about it that's a don't go.
Really?
Like, I just don't see, there's going to be bad, like, ADR, like, dubbing over, like, all of the swearing, and, yeah. like, you are going to cut down, like, the, yeah, it's just going to be, like, I feel like it's just going to be a massacre in the editing room, honestly, yeah. dude. It's just going to be a mess.
Well, they got time.
How that's going to translate.
They got time.
Well, and I just don't think the CW formula, like, I want to see stuff break out of that, so.
Yeah.
It's a don't go for me. Like, as much as I enjoyed the first half of the season, I'm not going to go out of my way to check it out again.
I'm kind of curious, though, how they're going to edit things. I want to just check out, like, the car
like a bad lip reading.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's this all about? How do they get around that? So, yeah, it's the same thing for me. It's like a don't go. It's like, well, I get it, though. Their hands are tied. So, what are we going to do?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Well, I mean, they got that fresh content, though, with Stargirl. That's this next week.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't they hold Stargirl, too? Hold Stargirl. Hold on to that and put that and Swamp Thing on there. Put Titans on there. Put all the DC Universe shows.
Oh, gosh.
Just edit them down, you know?
What do you think? We haven't really talked about Stargirl and the stuff they've shown us and told us about. Like, how are you feeling about that?
Man, it's a mixed bag for me because... not that it was this big revelation, but we got a little bit of Stargirl a couple of years ago on Legends when, like, at the end of the first season where, like, some of the JSA showed up. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's Stargirl. And she looked kind of cool to me. I liked her mask, I guess. I feel like every time they've done a live-action Stargirl, her head looks huge. Like, she's got a big blue bubble because when you draw in the comics, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just form-fitting, right? It's a blue face, but... There was she was on Smallville one time, and the mask just looks hideous, dude. Same thing on this. I just think it looks weird, but I really liked the version they had on Legends of Tomorrow for a couple episodes. Hmm. It was more of a Domino-ish like mask, but it worked better. It didn't make the actress look goofy.
Yeah, it's like they have to have like these like rounded edges, like it kind of like goes around, and they've done that on all of the stuff I've seen for the show.
Oh, like, Wildcat's everybody's the worst. Mask.
It looks. So I was
Wildcat
like,
looks awful.
It looks real bad. I was like mildly like curious because I don't have a lot of experience with Stargirl, the character.
Yeah.
But it looked like, oh, it's got like a decent cast. Like, I think, let's
see. Luke Wilson's in it.
But then I started seeing, I'm like, wait, you have a kid version of the JSA as like her CW team. Like, I'm just like, not that like a kid version of the JSA is inherently a bad idea or like gender swapping is like that big of a deal as far as like what the characters are. Mm-hmm. It just feels like really just lazy to me. Like you're just kind of taking this, just doing this overlay, like, but they're young and they're kids. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah. The one thing I thought was cool is like, we're going to get Stripey. We're going to get the giant robot, you know,
supposedly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard an interview with her. I was listening to an interview with her, and she was talking about, like, being part of that, like, that suit. So I'm like, okay. And in the trailer, they do have a cool, like, black and white photo of the original Justice Society of America.
Okay.
So that's cool. So, like, you know, what they're doing is they're doing, like, legacy stuff. So the Our Man suit doesn't look terrible.
True.
But I feel like it kind of does look terrible. I'm like, you know, looking, I'm like,
none of them look good.
Stargirl's like, we have Dr. Midnight. Now the thing is, the new Dr. Midnight is a young girl, but the suit looks really old. It doesn't look like it's a modern version. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then Wildcat, just that head, man. Like, I don't know. Like, and there's been a female weird Wildcat before, and she, I don't know. I'm not digging the giant forehead, man. It just doesn't make sense. It's like a bad costume design. But again, these are just still photographs. Like, watch it. I hope it's good. True. I always want a show to be good. I always want to be like, oh, man, I really like show. Like, so I don't want to sound like, oh, this is crap.
Who are all the characters they had? Because I'm pulling up all of the things. Like, the rest of her costume, to give them credit, doesn't look bad.
What, for Stargirl?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It's just the face mask part of it. Like, I just feel like it doesn't work well.
I mean, Icicle is on there.
Icicle's on it? Like the male version? Or the female. Oh, that's cool.
You hear my wife watching her TV show in the background.
Yeah, I don't know the whole thing, but I know like the original.
I'm trying to figure out who the bad guys are. There's a guy original, in a green jacket. I don't know who it is.
What's his face from Community's on it? He's playing Stripesy, right? Or was he? He's playing the original Starman.
The original Starman, yeah.
Yeah,
but Joel McHale.
Yeah, but it's not. It's weird because it's not Jack Knight. I'm like, oh, why didn't they have it just be Jack Knight? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So there's stuff like that. We're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to watch it before like making some, like, I don't want to have an opinion about it yet, you know? So.
For sure. Yeah. I don't think like, because we have opinions about it, we're saying it's not going to look good, but I'm like,
yeah,
it's not going to be good, but just like from what they're showing us, I'm like, yeah, I'm not stoked on the stuff we're seeing yeah so far.
And the lead, the star girl, she just seems too Disney to me. Like when I seen the trailer, I'm like, oh man, she is full of like, you know, pixie sticks and like and sugary sweetness. Like I think I like the girl who was on Legends. I don't know her name, but I know she was like a Power Ranger of some sort. But I was like, oh okay, she didn't seem as squeaky clean. But maybe that's what they want. Maybe they're looking for that, like a squeaky clean kind of character. So anywho,
yeah, man, could be.
I'll watch
costumes
it.
Costumes don't look great. I'm curious about it, though, and I'll for sure check it out.
Does it come out this week or is it next week?
Yeah, I want to say the 18th.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. And I know the Knicks, I'm just going to call them the Knicks, are reviewing the it Knicks for the site. So if y'all cool want to follow along, they'll be tag teaming on those reviews. So I'm curious. I'd like to check it out. I think I'm right now. I'm like, what else do I check out? Like, there's so many shows.
There's a lot for sure.
Yeah. And then today, let me see, CW put out a little poster for like Superman and Lois, which it was just a still shot of them. Like, there they are. Cause I think he's getting a new costume from what I remember seeing. And okay, so it was still the old costume with the weird clasps, but you know, they're casting a lot of people for that show. Like they've cast the two sons. They've cast, you know, Pete, they've cast Lana, Lana's daughter, Lana's, you know, everyone. So like everybody. Everyone's gonna be on the show.
That's so interesting.
I wonder if Jimmy Olsen comes over from the Supergirl show, even though he had like powers and everything.
Yeah, he was Guardian.
Yeah, he's Guardian. He's like everything. Unless it's a different world, because
he's got to be part of the crew.
He's gonna be the computer expert. I'm also a computer expert.
Back in the Super Cave, aka
the Fortress of Solitude. Yeah, yeah. He actually has a cave. He has something he can go to. So, but I'm actually kind of excited for that show. I'm like, all right. But yeah, CW just got, it's the DCW, dude.
It's a lot, man. I like everything. Tyler Hoechlin, I know we disagree. I think he's a pretty good Superman. So yeah. I'm not mad about that show at all.
I think he looks like Quagmire. He's Quagmire from Family Guy. Giggity, giggity Superman. That's what every time I see him, I think of Quagmire. But
the giggity right up in the sky.
He's not terrible, but I just feel he's the perfect CW Superman.
I know what you just said by that. Like that was,
what do you mean?
Oh, that was like a dig. Like I know how you mean it when you say he's the perfect CW Superman.
Yeah, well, it's not a dig. He fits. It's like he's definitely got the look. He's got the CW look. Like he's a good Superman, but he seems. He doesn't seem powerful to me. He just seems like he's the smiley Superman, and I want a Superman who's going to break through some walls. But anyways, that's a whole other conversation. You know, I'm a George Reeves Superman. Break a wall, bend a pipe. You know, don't say too much. And then,
for sure. Did you see? Speaking of Superman, did you see someone did some random like fan art of like a poster of Henry Cavill's Superman and The Rock is Black Adam?
I did see
kind of facing off against each other.
Yeah, The Rock's ears are way too pointy on that.
Like, it was kind of crazy.
A scroll, man. I know he's got some pointy ears, but dude, just bring those in a little bit. Yeah, it looked cool.
Bring it in, man.
Yeah, I hope that happens. I hope that we get some Rock versus Superman. You know.
Yeah, I would like that, man. I just recently rewatched Shazam, like just a few days ago. I hadn't watched it since the theater.
Oh, dang.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Dude, we've seen it so many times. We saw it for Christmas. We watched it, I think, the first week of quarantine, we watched it. So
nice.
With going back to that, like, I just don't think that's going to happen. Because what they've already rumored is, like, Hawkman's going to be it. The old JSA, a modern JSA. Remember? They were talking about, like Hawkman being in the old time and then in the new time because he reincarnates. I'm like, dude, I want to see Henry Cavill Superman, but I definitely would love to see freaking Hawkman go up against Black Adam.
Same.
So, yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, The Rock and Henry Cavill have the same agent, and that's always been a thing. But I don't know. I'm on the fence with if Cavill's coming back or if he's done. You know,
would you want him to?
Oh, dude, I'd love him to come back. I feel like he loves Superman. Like, he's like a dude that was like, he named his dog Superman, you know. Yeah, like he named his dog Kal-El, not Superman. Superman, get over here. Go with the pet.
But like, you get to order like, where is Superman all the time. It works out.
Yeah, and I feel like he just kind of got unfair shake a few times, and he really loves being Superman. Where Ben Affleck was like, ah, man, I can't deal with this. I'm out. Like, Ben Affleck left. Henry Cavill's like, I want to be here. Like, let's make this happen.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, yeah, I'm here for whatever they want to give me. So just give me some movies.
I just Please. Want movies. Just
give me some movies that are good so I can enjoy them and go, oh, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I'm okay with that, man. I'm okay with that. Hey, did you see, speaking of, we're doing a lot of DC talk here. Speaking of DC, though, did you see that we can get points now on DC Universe? Like, they're trying to make it, if you watch all these things, you can acquire points, and they'll be able to, they're trading value for things. So, like, oh, you read these comics? And there's always suggestions, a lot of Batgirl suggestions this week. And so I was like, oh, dang, I'm going to get me some points. And so I just, you know, I was actually just letting it run in the background. I was like, oh, I've seen these before while I was working.
Oh, that's cool.
And it just played. I was like, oh, shoot, I got me a lot of points.
Nice.
So, but it's weird. It's like you get 10 points for watching Superman, the movie, which is like 3 hours almost. But you get 15 for reading that comic, a Birds of Prey comic. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, dude. If you watch Superman, if you watch the Donner Superman movie, you should get like 50 points. That's a long movie.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment. That's like, hey, you know, you're going to get some free Superman underwear for that. We have tons of red underwears we're giving out since we took them off of them for a few years. We're going to give them out.
Got some spare.
Send them out. Oh, that would have been an amazing promo for comic shops when they put the underwear back on them. They just sent everybody red underwear. Like red briefs. Like, hey, they're back. The chonies are back.
Do it.
They should have done that. Though I prefer no chonies.
Everyone can wear their underwear on the outside.
Why not? Let that be a fashion in 2021 when we all come out of like quarantine. Everyone's like, hey, underwear on the outside. I've been wearing them all day anyways. Kind of used to them.
Yeah.
I'm kind of used to not wearing pants. Let's put the chonies on the outside.
Dude, yeah. Man.
All right. Has there been any cool comics that you've read lately? Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I got a copy of Superman Up in the Sky.
Yeah.
Tom King and Andy Kubert.
There you go.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you want to say about it?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. I've actually been trying to think like what my kind of gathered thoughts would be. So I was thinking about writing a review for the site.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I think it's actually a really great, I can't think of it without thinking about, I also just recently started reading Super Gods by Grant Morrison.
Hmm.
And they just seem like really great companion, like nice. Pieces. 'Cause you know, the opening of Morrison's book, like he talks a lot about just the imagery and like what the idea of Superman does.
Yeah.
And for me, it's crazy to read the first part of that book and then read this Tom King like collection of Superman stories. 'Cause I'm like, oh, this is that. Like, this is,
wow.
This is like getting to the core of like, and I'm like, oh, dude, here's what I'll say. Here's one thing I'll say without going into details about the story. 'Cause I actually really want you to be able to read through all of this too.
Yeah, actually I have it in my Amazon like cart, but haven't hit send yet. 'Cause I'm like, is this what I want to get right
it's
now?
It's really good. And the trade dress for it and design and stuff is excellent.
Yeah. I saw that. That was actually my favorite part. I'm like, this just looks nice.
It really does. So here's my one thing I'll say about it.
Yeah.
I think with all of the back and forth and the crap about like how hard it is to adapt Superman to a modern audience and not mm-hmm. make him feel compelling still, I was like, Tom King just gave you however many issues there are, 10, 12 ideas for how to do that. That can be expanded into their own things. Like he just is very episodic in nature.
Yeah.
Like it's not like this moment at the end of this issue goes directly into this moment from this issue. It's like, no. All of them are kind of like standalone things that are kind of in succession in this kind of journey that Superman's taking. But I feel like over and over again, you just get these incredible moments where it's like, and there's the core of Superman, and there's the core of Superman, and there's the core of Superman. And it's just like, I remember hearing Tom King say one time, and I'm like, oh, I can totally see this in it. He said for writing Superman, he said is one of the easiest things to write is like, because when you look, he's just that he does the right thing. Whenever given like one choice or the other, Superman will always do the right thing. So you always have him do the right thing and then take the story there.
Well, and I think frustrating.
It says, I get like that can seem like a little reductionistic, but I think.
No, I mean, it's frustrating where people are like, oh, I just don't know. You know, I just don't know what how to adapt Superman. You know, like I'm like, well, writers everywhere are like, no, here's what I would do. You know,
yeah, it's like so many writers are like, hey, here it is. And I think when you have that, there are plenty of wrinkles. There's plenty of like grit, and there's like hard things happening, and it's like this backdrop of something that feels very contemporary with the idea and kind of the spirit of Superman that's timeless.
Yeah,
in my mind. And so I think it captures that really, really well. I think some people might be bothered that it feels very like vignette, like kind of based, like each one is kind of its own thing. That didn't bother me. And you don't get like, you don't get the big payoff of like, this is the villain and this was his plan and we know what he looks like and who he is. It's like, no, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. Like you get sort of there, but the point is what Superman is willing to go through to make the right thing happen. And I think that makes it a really, for me, a really timeless, a really like kind of instant classic Superman story.
Nice.
Like you can point someone here and be like, here's a window into what Superman is.
So oh man. I'm going to hit send really on that punch. I really am. I feel like the more modern Superman stories that I've read have been some of my favorite. Like speaking of like, you know, Andy Kubert, him and Jeff Johns did some really good they did some really good stories. It was like, oh gosh, I think it was right before New 52. There was just,
did they do the Brainiac one?
Yeah. They did Brainiac.
I really liked that one a lot.
There's the one that people were talking about last week. Speaking of like Henry Cavill and movies, it was the Jim Lee and who's the guy who wrote it? Brian Azzarello. Mm-hmm. I forget the story.
I know what you're thinking about.
Yeah,
that's almost like a follow up.
It's called For Tomorrow. Yeah, but it's another Superman pondering. So I was like, I don't think it's a good movie right now. It's a good movie.
It's not the one they need right now.
Yeah, we definitely need probably up and away to be adapted.
We need Superman punching robots.
Yeah, punching robots, smiling, and then he can like ponder like, why does everybody suck? Do I suck?
I don't want to pump it up too much because I'm sure your mileage may vary depending on what your preferences are and stuff. But this type of story that Tom King is doing like feels very much in the vein of like All-Star Superman, where you're just kind of like exploring kind of the extremes of like who Superman is and like what he goes through to be like that ultimate hero.
Yeah.
What are some of your other like favorite Superman stories?
Ooh, that's some good stuff though. That's a good thing. I like All-Star Superman. I actually think that's really great. Mm-hmm. There was these oversized books that Alex Ross was doing with Paul Dini, and it was just called Superman Peace on Earth. And there was like Batman War on Crime. And so there was like a Wonder Woman and a Shazam one. But that one's actually really cool because it's like an actual like Superman real world, especially with Ross's like painting and stuff. And It's like a really cool story about Superman just kind of going out and trying to, you know, solve problems. There's some things he can do, and there's like this real, like, it answers the question, why can't Superman feed starving people? You know, well, he can't because there's like dictators involved, and he can't get involved because it would cause a war. And so his hands are tied in certain things, you know. That's what I really like that one. I love a lot of the early, just early 90s run. What they used to do is every week they would have these little triangles. It's funny, they were triangles instead of Superman shields. Like, why don't you guys just use a Superman shield? You're almost there. But like, there was four books. So there was Action Comics, Superman, Adventures of Superman, and Superman the Man of Steel. And every week the story would just continue book to book, book to book, you know, different books. Like, it was the same story, but certain books touched on, you know, other characters more so. But I really like that. But there was one, and I think there was a story right before the Death of Superman story. It was called Panic in the Sky. And it was a Brainiac story, and it was really cool. It was like, and it was like Superman teaming up with all the heroes, and he wasn't in Justice League at this time. You know, this was him leading other heroes, because it was like the Giffen era still. It was like the JLI. So that wasn't all right. That was right before he joined. But anyways, I really like that story. If you haven't read Panic in the Sky, I think it's a fun one to run into.
I don't think I've read that one. When I think of like more recent, like Superman kind of iconic stories, I definitely think of Superman for All Seasons.
Oh yeah, well, that's Birthright.
And Birthright, yeah, was the other one I would think of.
But those are like, that's one of the things that's interesting is Superman has all of these really great origin stories. I feel like most of his stories that are the origins are great, like For All Seasons and, you know, Birthright. I love Birthright. Birthright's great. Mm-hmm. And even the original Man of Steel miniseries, you know, there's still stuff you can take away and put in there. And then Jeff Johns and Gary Frank's, their Superman Secret Origin. Like, that one's really good. But yeah, Batman, he just has one real origin. It's like year one, that's it. You know, that's the origin. Like, and these Superman ones they're kind of different times. Like, Birthright really does a lot of him traveling throughout the world and stuff, but I feel like there's like seven of them, right? But Batman's just Batman year one, that's it. that's one.
True. Like, I mean, and you know? Those are like the, because you all said Jeff Johns and Gary Frank did Superman Secret Identity, which was also another like origin type one. I mean, if we're thinking of like ones that aren't origin, I mean, if you go real, you can go real classic for like, for the man who has everything, like, must there be a Superman?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's kind of those kind of like iconic things, but as far as like, collected like one and done, like kind of story.
Yeah. Superman got real boring for me after he came back.
After the death of Superman?
Yeah. After that, it was like, oh, he's back, but it just...
Talk about not knowing what to do with him.
Yeah, it was like, well, he would kill him. But I was actually really more interested, like, well, what's going to happen with Superboy, dude? I like that character. He's in Hawaii. This is cool. You know, what's going on with this guy? But then when the Superman red and blue thing, that was like, what? He was blue first, but the electric Superman. Mm-hmm. I just didn't dig the books. Like, I loved what Grant Morrison was doing with them in JLA. I'm like, okay, this is Superman. You know, he had a good take, but the books were kind of like getting stale at that point. And so, it didn't get too exciting for me until President Luthor stuff. Like, oh, okay. Like, Lex Luthor, the president. There was some cool stuff going on then. So like, I think at the early 2000s, they started picking up again for me. And then anyways, it just turned into a Superman show, dude.
Yeah.
What a super show.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff. You know, I've read some of the Burn stuff, but I wasn't really reading comics when it came out. You know, it was when I was a little guy, but I've gotten some of them and some of them are really good. And some of them are very 80s, but the concepts are still good. There's a lot of good books there though. So, but I love all the Jeff Johns run that he did in Action. And then he was doing some of it with Richard Donner.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's really good. I like when Superman's written well. And of course, like, the modern amazing is everything Tomasi did in Rebirth.
Oh man. Yeah. That was a great, great run.
His Superman was great. So yeah, there you go. If you guys have any Superman recommendations. Hit us up, man.
Yeah. And check out Superman Up in the Sky. You can get the hardcover of that. And I think it's well worth adding to your library.
Oh, yeah.
I would say it's, I don't know. I feel like it's a gotta go. Like, I mean, you just like,
yeah,
Andy Kubert on the art, like you have like these amazing big action pieces paired with really deep, like kind of like, I'm trying to think, like you're really trying to like delve deep into like kind of like examinations is the word I was looking for of like what makes Superman. And so I think it, for me, it's like essential reading, and it's cool, like I said, to have it pair up with reading Super Gods, like reading Super Gods, like hearing Grant Morrison describe like the Golden Age and the Silver Age. I'm like, oh man, I want to get some old Captain Marvel stories. I want to read like, you know, these other classic things. Cause I'm like, this is inspiring me, you know, to think about the history of comics. And he talks about even just what the idea of Superman can do for someone. And I think it's really cool. It's really inspiring.
Nice. Yeah. I can't believe, as much as I love Tom King, how I didn't jump on that story. You know, it was those Walmart books. So they were hard to get.
The whole Walmart thing like threw me off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It was hard to get them.
Get there. Which I've heard the Bendis like Batman one was really good too, and I never.
It was fun. The Bendis Batman was fun, but I don't. From what I'm hearing, it doesn't feel like it's on the same level as this. Like, this is like where, especially coming from Bendis, you're like, oh, we're gonna get this gritty like Daredevil style story, and it's not. Yeah. It is. It's like a. It's like a weird Batman going into space with Green Lantern rings type of story, looking for something. So it's definitely an odd story. It's not bad, but it's like, oh, not what I would have thought I was going to get from Bendis doing a Batman story.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But this Superman story does, it sounds like, okay, I got to buy it. So I need to wash the bad taste out of my mouth from Frank Miller's Superman Year One. That was
awful. I never read it. It didn't look appealing to me, dude.
So bad, dude. Sorry. I was like, what the heck is going on in this book, dude? Like, yeah, Superman joined the army and all this stuff. It was just weird, man. It just didn't make any sense. There's a whole underwater issue where he's like dating a mermaid, Lori Lamaris, who's a character like in his history, but it's like, what the heck, dude, is going on here?
Oh, man.
Like, I feel like Year One, if you say something's Year One, it has to be like the, you know, the archetype version.
Yeah, it has to be definitive.
It can't be the, well, here's my take on it. Even though Frank Miller did Year One, what he did with Batman is like legendary. Like that is that's the origin of Batman.
Totally.
You can't be pulling this weird crap, Frank Miller. It's like, could have called it Year Something. Year Not One. That would have been 0 year.
Year None.
You're done. So, all right. we're gonna wrap this show up before we start saying some more goofy stuff. So, Matt, if people want to connect with you and say, man, I really like that Superman book, do you have any more suggestions for me, Matt? How can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter @MattRitchie.
Yeah. And Matt loves silly gifts. So everyone send him silly gifts. Gifts or GIF.
GIF.
A GIF or a GIF. Whatever. Not peanut butter, but like, you know.
I'll take that too. I do enjoy peanut butter.
Yeah, like, oh, crunchy or smooth. Surprise them. Just no almond butter. And you can find me at @J_Rocca. You can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow our website by going to www.letsgopodcast.com, where you can listen to this show and the Let's Go Podcast. And while you're there, hey, maybe click on that merch tab and buy yourself a shirt. You know, you're wearing that same dingy old shirt in quarantine. It's time to get a new one. Get a new shirt.
Do it.
So you can look nice and fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying? All right. So please leave us a review on the iTunes podcast store, wherever the heck they call it now. And then what we're going to do, we'll read it. And then we're going to make a song out of it. Remember, we will make a song out of your review. And that'll live on forever. Forever. You'll be famous.
Forever.
You'll be internet famous. I can't wait. I can't wait to make a song, Matt. Matt's like really stressed about this. He's like, oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
We're going to get like 30 of them. That'd be great. Yeah. Remember, reviews help the show see, you know, a little bit of rise in the rankings. So we want to rise in those rankings. So send in a review and we'll make a song.
Yeah.
It's that easy. It's that easy for you. But for us, it might be hard. So All right. The longer the review, the more lyrics we have. Just know.
There we go.
So, all right, man. Well, we are going to get out of here. That being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.